From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Terry Gilday. North Salt Lake is home to one of the last medical waste incinerators in the country. Stericycle, the company that operates the incinerator, came under scrutiny this summer after state officials cited it for violating emission standards. Residents of the Foxborough neighborhood became concerned about this plant operating next door. Many bought homes there without knowing that pollutants were being released into their neighborhood. In the first part of our two-part series, What's Burning in the Backyard?, KUER's Andrea Smarden and Brian Grimmett tell the story of how Foxborough grew up around a medical waste incinerator.
We start our story with some Foxborough residents who live just across the street from Stericycle's medical waste incinerator. Dan and Becca Hubrick and their three children just home from school, bouncing on a trampoline in the backyard.
Hey guys, play nice, please.
From the house, you can see these bobbing blonde heads, and right behind them, there's this white plume of smoke. It kind of looks like steam.
When Dan and Becca decided to build a home in Foxborough more than 6 years ago, the new neighborhood seemed ideal for a young family.
We really were drawn to the community. There was a lot of appeal. They have a lot of parks. They have a lot of togetherness. The homes are very kind of close-knit.
Becca's husband, Dan, liked the location, the convenience of being right between I-15 and Legacy Parkway. The Hubricks say their neighborhood is all that they had hoped for, but they did wonder why they would sometimes see black smoke coming from the plant across the street.
You know, our kids would say, Mom, the building's on fire again. And we would always say, that can't be good. But we had no idea what it was until we went to a city council meeting and they had a team of doctors there telling us what a medical incinerator really was, what they were burning, and what that was polluting our air with.
City leaders held this meeting because the State Division of Air Quality cited Stericycle in May this year for exceeding permitted levels of pollutants like dioxins and for falsifying the results of stack tests.
Becca and Dan learned that dioxins are a highly toxic byproduct of burning plastic, that they can cause cancer and affect human fertility and development.
The Hubricks learned that even when operating the incinerator legally, Stericycle is allowed to release limited amounts of these dioxins, as well as lead, mercury, and nitrogen oxide. They also learned that the black smoke they saw a few times a year was an emergency bypass incident. That means waste is released directly into the air without any of the usual filters.
I was upset. I felt deceived.
Angry.
Number one, why were we not told this from the beginning? And the second thing that made me upset was, how did they get a permit to build right next door to this thing in the first place?
Looking back at the closing documents they signed when they bought their house, Becca and Dan were warned about truck and traffic noises, parking lot lights, and steam, but nothing about pollutants.
We should say here that Stericycle's corporate office did not respond to our request for an interview. In a statement, the company claims to be operating under the parameters of its permit.
Even if that's the case, Dan and Becca say they don't feel safe in their home.
We are moving.
Had I known what was actually coming out of that thing, I would never have built a home right next to it.
But moving might not be so easy. Dan happens to be a loan officer and is concerned about property values in the neighborhood.
I've definitely seen a big increase in people wanting to sell their homes and to move. And I've talked to a lot of these people, and a lot of it is because of Stericycle. It's a very real possibility that values could be affected.
We talked to a number of families who say they were not aware of what actually went on at the incinerator until after they bought their home. They all say that information may well have influenced their decision whether or not to buy.
The question is, how did thousands of people come to live near a medical waste incinerator?
That story begins in 1990, when a company called Browning Ferris Industries, or BFI, wanted to buy some land over on the west side of North Salt Lake to operate an incinerator. When city officials reviewed BFI's permit, there were no residents within a mile of the facility.
But even then, locals at the time were concerned about public safety and medical waste in their community. We looked back at the Planning Commission meeting minutes. One resident asked what the restriction would be for building residential homes near the proposed plant.
The chair of the Planning Commission, Gerald Seelis, said, quote, residential plans would be rejected because they would not comply with the overall intent of the West District.
Stericycle bought the incinerator in 1999. Fast forward to 2002, city leaders amended the general plan and rezoned the land for residential development.
But wait, Chairman Seelis said that wasn't part of the plan.
Well, landowners and developers hatched their own master plan. Some prominent families in Utah owned the land next to the incinerator and wanted to develop it. They hired Bill Wright, who worked as a consultant for a company called Sear Brown. Wright saw an opportunity.
At that time, the bulk of the land was vacant, and it was large in size. It was an opportunity to envision a future that was not just typical industrial development.
They made a deal with developer Woodside Homes to build a mixed-use development.
But in order for all of this to work, they needed city officials to rezone the land to build residential homes.
As it happens, consultant Bill Wright was on the city's planning commission. And you know who else was on the planning commission? The current mayor of North Salt Lake, Len Arvey. At the time, Arvey was the chief financial officer for Woodside Homes.
So the housing developer on the project, isn't that a conflict of interest?
I asked Mayor Arvey about that.
There were concerns on the council that there would be conflicts of interest. We all understood that. I had to recuse myself. I didn't participate in any debate, discussions, votes, and I was very careful to keep myself out of it.
Bill Wright said the same thing, and neither of them voted on this rezone issue.
As far as we can see in the meeting minutes, Arvey really did stay out of it. But in a May 2002 Planning Commission meeting, Bill Wright presented the initial plan for a mixed-use community. In the presentation, he described it as a premier development, with mixed-income homes, some commercial businesses, and a wonderful view.
I asked Mayor Arvey if he thought it was appropriate for Wright to advocate for his plan while also serving as a commissioner.
It probably isn't a decision I would have made if I were him, but it's not my job to criticize people. I hate to throw rocks because, you know, we all live in a glass house. If it were happening under my administration, it would be my job to try and make sure it was fixed.
As mayor now, if that situation were happening, would you have something to say about it?
Yeah, I think so. I realize people have to make a living, but I think at that point in time, they probably should make a choice whether they're going to serve on the planning commission or make a living doing that kind of stuff.
Wright says he believed in the plan amendment that was proposed, but doesn't think he had any undue influence on its approval. He says there was a healthy debate on the proposal.
Other commissioners we talked to said they made up their own minds and were not influenced by Wright.
So what about public safety concerns near the incinerator? Was there discussion about that?
There were concerns about the noise from trucks and visual disturbances from lights, but not a word in the Planning Commission meeting minutes about air pollution in relation to Stericycle. All the city leaders we interviewed say they had no reason to suspect that the incinerator's emissions would be unsafe. The State Division of Air Quality assured them that the company was in compliance with their permit.
So nobody had any objections to rezoning the land for residents?
There was one commissioner who had serious concerns, Jim Grimal, president of a construction business close to Foxborough. Grimal was worried that the residents would force the existing businesses out. In fact, there were a number of businesses in the area who objected to the rezone for this reason. Stericycle did not object, but Grimal says it wasn't hard to foresee that there would be problems with neighbors next to a medical waste incinerator.
We did know what was going on at Stericycle and the risk involved in that type of work, and we certainly should have and could have been aware that there's a potential for problems.
An internet search shows that there were medical waste incinerators around the country at that time that were coming under intense public pressure to close in California, Missouri, and Arizona. But all the city leaders we spoke to say they were not aware of these conflicts at the time.
It took about 6 months from the time the idea was introduced to when city leaders gave final approval of the rezone. Jim Grimal's term ended before a decision was made. Today, he says there is a lesson to be learned.
We shouldn't rush and push the development of those areas and make exceptions to good land planning just for the sake of making it profitable for an entity. Let's do our homework. That's the area we could have done a better job.
So that's the story of how we got here. But what can be done now?
City residents are watching their leaders closely to see how they handle this situation. Local elections are coming up, and residents like Dan Hubrick say Stericycle's incinerator is their number one issue.
It's a big enough issue now. You know, Aaron Brockovich came out here. It's got a lot of attention. And so whoever's leading in the city needs to have this at the forefront of their priorities.
How are the city leaders responding? That story tomorrow morning. I'm Andrea Smartin.
And I'm Brian Grimmett. KUER News.